Hi, I'm Jimmy. I'm from the USA, and I'm a Coldplay fan.
And welcome to Code Talks. Finally, we are beginning season two. Claps, everybody. Claps for season two, because I honestly, in the beginning, I won't say that I didn't see that happening, because I've always wanted the podcast to grow and to reach the biggest number of people possible. But I don't know, in the beginning, I had such a small idea. I just wanted to like talk to fans around the world and develop what we have on online, on Twitter, and those kind of things. So it fills me with joy. That's the point. It fills me with joy to be here, to talk to you that are listening, and to talk to the guests. It's just so great for me. Before we actually begin today's episode and begin to talk about the proper guests, I have some announcements to make, because this is season two. Things are different. You have already heard the first big piece of news that is actually the one that I enjoy the most, I can say, that is the new soundtrack from season two to the last. We're always going to have original soundtrack, which was made by me. Yes, I adventured myself trying to be John Hopkins for some moments, and you're going to see that. John Hopkins was a major influence for the new tracks and the soundtrack of the show, which means that we're not going to have like Coldplay-related music playing on the background. It was nice, I liked it, but I mean, I prefer to have something more personal, that it's kind of its own thing for the podcast, yeah. And Warner will not kill me because of that. It will not take the podcast out of air because of that. So, a small detail that changed a bit in season two, and if you take a look on the previous episodes from season one, I have updated that specific part of the episode in whatever platform you're listening to the podcast, is that now, from season two on, I will always like to enhance which country the guests are from. So in the side of each name of each guest, on the thumb of the podcast and on an actual name of the episode, on the platforms that you're listening to, I put a flag with the guest's country for it to be easier for us to like identify other countries and see how diverse the podcast is getting. I mean, it's always nice to see how Coldplay is literally worldwide and affects people in the whole world. And I think that's a very small thing, a very small change. But at the same time, I think that's just so amazing that we can have the visual identification of where this person is coming from. One other new thing that we have is that we are on more platforms. Some of you asked, some of you DM'd me on social media. By the way, follow Code Talks on social media. We are at Code Talks Pod, P-O-D, on Twitter and Instagram. But some of you asked me to put the podcast on Audible and Amazon Music. So there it is for season two. The new episodes are going to be there as well, just exactly as the old ones are there in the moment that we begin season two, okay? And remembering Code Talks is on Spotify, Deezer, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and now Audible and Amazon Music, okay? Talking about platforms, at the end of 2021, beginning of 2022, some platforms such as Spotify has introduced a new way of evaluating the podcast that you listen to, that is rating. So now Spotify has ratings. Apple Podcasts has had ratings since the very beginning. But now Spotify and some others has ratings. And this helps a lot how the podcast is being delivered from the platforms to the listeners. So if you like the podcast, if you like Code Talks, and if you want to support the show, please consider following the podcast or liking or subscribing to the podcast in the platform that you're listening to. And now rating 5 stars, ideally, or whatever you think the podcast deserves. Talking about feedbacks and the ways that you can also support the show. For season two, I created an account of Buy Me a Coffee. If you don't know what is Buy Me a Coffee, it is a platform of 100% safe, 100% worldwide for fans to support anything they like as buying coffees. So you can go to buymeacoffee.com/codetalkspod to literally buy me a coffee or like pay whatever amount of money you think that I deserve. Making a podcast is also about money. Unfortunately, we live in this world where everything is about money. So if you can help with the amount of money that you have and you want, like there is no minimum, there is no maximum, and there is no need for that. Like the podcast is still going to be here every Wednesday, as always, for a long time. I don't intend to make this financial thing or money thing. It's just for a kind of financial support that if you want to give to us, I would be very, very grateful. Last but not least, I think the most interesting thing, and I also need to say that this is a test and I will need 100% of you guys into it. So if you listen to the podcast, if you weren't paying attention to anything that I was saying and just wanted the guests to be here, that's the moment that I ask for a little bit of your attention. That is Inner Talks. What is Inner Talks? Inner Talks is going to be monthly for now. I don't know if this is going to stay monthly. Again, this is a test. But it's a monthly special here on Cold Talks where we are going to talk the way you want. You won't need to be a guest to be here. How this is going to work? From this episode on, in the end of each episode, there will be a question that is going to be made about Coldplay and about the band to the guests and to you that are listening. And then in the end, the last episode of the podcast, the last episode of the month, it's going to be your answers to this question. And I'm going to listen to them and react to them. We're going to talk in a more direct way that is not on Twitter, that is not on Instagram. It is like face to face or maybe voice to voice. Maybe this applies a bit better, right? And you will be able to answer me this question in many different ways. Option number one, in the end of the description section of every episode of the podcast, there is a link that says send in a voice message. So if you want to send me the answer of this question, you're going to click that link, record your audio. Please identify, say your name, say where you're from, and say which question you are answering. Then I'm going to put your answer here on the episode. And option number two, if you're listening to the podcast on Spotify, if you scroll down the screen, there will be a space for you to answer this question on text. So if you don't want to record your own voice and if you're listening to this on Spotify, there will be the option for you to send in your answer in written text, okay? And this begins today, right now. So stick to the end and listen to the question and answer me via those two options. Please don't let this go wrong. Like, answer the questions, talk to me, let's chat, let's talk. That's the whole reason for this podcast to exist. If you have already been on Code Talks and want to like say hello again, this is the moment, this is the opportunity. And those are the good news for you that is listening to Code Talks, and we're waiting for season two. I told in the previous episodes that season two would bring some surprises. They're here. I know that I talked a lot. I know that probably there's a lot of things here for you to process. I'm sorry about the great amount of new information for you, but I'm going to repeat that through some moments of the podcast and some moments of the episodes as well. And this is going to be shared on social media as well. So if you follow Code Talks on Instagram and Twitter, you will hear from that in those places as well. Today's episode is going to kick off things here on the podcast for season two, and it couldn't be more special. If you have been listening to Code Talks since the beginning, you know that Jimmy Dushku is a name that we repeat here quite often, and there is a reason for that. He's considered like to be one of the biggest Coldplay fans in the whole world. He has already been to 90 concerts. Yes, 90 concerts of Coldplay. He has been a Coldplay fan since 2001. That was when he first got to the first gig of Coldplay. And in a very like random way, you're going to listen to him talking about that. And he has been collecting moments and events and concerts with the band since then. He's a very passionate guy, you know, like when you listen to him speaking, you can totally understand the reason that this guy has already been to 90 Coldplay concerts and counting. Like he has tickets for Music of the Series too as well. It was so great talking to him. And yeah, if you're here, there is 90% of chance that you already have like heard about Jimmy sometime in your life as a Coldplayer. But now we're going to listen to a very special conversation about that. So yeah, let's go. Jimmy, Cold Talks, Season 2, right now. Jimmy, hello. How are you?
Good, Rodrigo. Thank you for having me.
Hi, thank you very much for joining. Like, I don't mean to like to brag about you, but like you're kind of legendary among the Coldplay fans.
Thank you.
Like, your name has already been on lots of conversations here on the podcast, so it feels natural that you'll stop by here someday. And I thank you so much for setting a bit of your day to be here with us. So Jimmy, please introduce yourself.
So I'm Jimmy. I'm just a Coldplay fan from Texas. It's been lucky enough to go around and follow them on their musical journey. And my hobby is to see the band live. So that's what I've been doing for the last 22 now, I guess, maybe.
Wow. So you kind of see them since the very beginning, right?
Yeah, so 2001 was the first time I saw them. By complete accident, I just went with a friend of mine to see them, who's a fan, and I kind of got dragged to that show. But looking back, I wish that I had been a bigger fan because there weren't that many people in the audience, so I could have easily had a cooler experience if I was more into it at the time. But nowadays, I try to go to any show I can, and I just feel lucky to be in a crowd of even 100,000.
Yeah, it's a very specific kind of energy when we talk about Coldplay concerts and Coldplay crowds, right? So do you remember where was this concert on 2001 that you went into?
Yeah, it was in LA at the Mayan Theater.
Wow, got it. Yeah. Have they already played there again in the future?
I don't know if they've played there again, but in 2015, they were doing a show at the Belasco Theater that was next door to it.
Oh.
I was lucky enough to go to that.
Yeah.
So it was like full circle. It was really cool to be able to go to start off my whole Coldplay journey there and then end up next door years later.
Yeah, it's kind of like those Easter eggs that the future brings, like, about the band.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, I have a question that is actually the most, the things that I am kind of most curious about, that is, how many Coldplay concerts have you ever attended? Can you keep track of that?
So, I think it's 91 right now. Tomorrow is going to be 92.
Tomorrow?
I keep rough track of it, but I think some of my friends tell me more. So like when this tour schedule started coming out, people were telling me like, okay, when's the 91 or 92 or 93? And so I kind of keep track.
Wow. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that this is a very large amount of concerts, and I'm pretty sure that you don't get tired of the band. Well, you can't get tired of being like, again, it's that kind of energy that a Coldplay concert has that makes each night unique. But before we actually begin, I really want to talk about live events, because I assume that you have lots of great stories and lots of memories to share with us about seeing the band live. But before that, I wanted to make a quick profile of you as a Coldplay fan. So can you tell me your favorite Coldplay album?
Rush of Blood to the Head is my favorite album.
Okay, can you say why?
It's just the timing, and that was pretty much the time where I personally fell in love with the music. Like, that solidified it for me, because up until that point, it was me just going along with my friend Eddie, that was the fan that was always like, hey, let's go to this Coldplay show. But then when A Rush of Blood to the Head came out, that was like every single song. I remember thinking, like, listening the first time and thinking, I hope this chord progression goes this direction.
Yeah.
And every single song I listened to went exactly the way I hoped it would. And so it just, for me, it really resonated with me, just musically and the tone of it and the recording. Also the timing, I have so many good memories of, like, I remember every song the first time I've listened to. I have memories of that. And so that album in particular, it just brings back a lot.
Yeah, I can help but imagine. Like, it's funny because usually, like, especially after A Head Full of Dreams, that like lots of new fans became closer to the band, and they could reach to a different kind of audience. Like, I'm a Coldplay fan since the very end of Viva La Vida era, so I didn't get the first three or four albums of the band while they released. But it's funny because I remember in the beginning of it, the first album that I listened to by Coldplay was Eruption Blood to the Head. And for a long time, it wasn't my favorite. The context that I listened to Eruption Blood to the Head was as not a new album anymore. Like, I didn't have, and lots of people didn't have that rush of, well, this is a new piece of music. This is fresh. Like, because even though I like, Eruption Blood to the Head was the first album that I listened to them, but as an album, I have already listened to like Clocks. Clocks was the first song that I listened by them. So there was a moment in the album that was already quite familiar to me. You had singles, but even the singles were like new. They weren't like modern rock classic as they were today. So,
right.
And this progression happened like naturally. I think you can say that you saw Coldplay as like a bedroom project in lots of quotation marks in the beginning, and becoming like piece by piece a stadium band playing for like 50,000 people in one night and then repeating this routine again and again. So how did your perspective of the band changed among the years, like by following them like very closely as you did and as you still do actually?
Yeah, that's a good question. I do think about that sometimes, because the first time I saw them was basically like a little theater, like a club tour. And then every time they'd come back, I remember thinking, wow, they're just getting more and more successful. And in addition to like being happy for them musically, like I've always thought that it's a cool thing to see that they've had that much success, because they still, no matter how big they got, they were still the same people.
Yeah.
And it was cool to see that you can be yourself and you can be genuine and do what you want to do. And if you're good at it, you'll get rewarded. People will actually like that and come to your shows, and you just keep getting bigger. So one thing I always noticed was that they never changed, but they just got more popular.
Yeah.
So they just kept doing what they were doing and pushing the envelope, but they were just the same good people that they always were. So that's something that stuck out with me, no matter how big they got. That, I mean, to this day, it's like the same Chris Martin that, you know, I met 2 decades ago. Oh. So that was cool. But as far as the shows changing, yeah, I mean, I remember probably Viva Tour and the MX Tour, I was like, okay, something is,
yeah,
this is getting huge.
This is different, yeah.
Yeah, the fact that Viva just didn't end, it just, that tour just kept going. And then MX was, with the Xylo bands, that just completely revolutionized, yeah, live events, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think that it was a combination of great music, great show, great effects. And then ever since, they've just been innovating.
Yeah. I remember, like, while you were talking about like this innovative part of the band, I do know Roadie, the book by Matt McKean. I was rereading that book a few days ago for some projects that we have here in the podcast. There is a moment where he's talking about the lighting of the Viva Era tour, and he's describing it as like the most amazing thing ever. And I'm like, poor Matt, because like, little did he know that the year after, basically, they were going to create a record where actually the crowd was going to be a part of the lighting of the show. So it's so nice to read that book, and not only reading it, but like to watch old concerts and like X and Y era concerts and see, as you said, like Coldplay managed to create events inside their songs. Like every show, every concert from any band, from anything, is a transformation of a song into, or a group of songs into an event that has a way more clear capacity to be life-changing and marking. Like, and when a topic is Coldplay, I think that they get that to the next level. I mean, they enhance it to a whole new place and whole new perspective.
You're right. You know, I think as the shows get bigger, in some ways they get less, you know, obviously intimate, and it's a whole different spectacle, but
yeah,
they do affect more people. Like I hear or see so many more videos of people having these personal experiences at these shows, that like just positive emotional reactions to everything. So there, I think that's a cool aspect of it, because they can affect more people now with these huge shows.
Yeah, exactly. And well, continuing the profiling thing, I want to ask, I know it's a hard question, I mean, you can cheat. You don't have to pick one. But what is your favorite song by Coldplay?
My favorite Coldplay song, it's two. It's The Scientist and Gravity.
Wow. A massive hit and a B-side. That's interesting. Yeah. Can you say why?
The Scientist, I mean, just the chords, I remember, like, the first time I saw the video, I fell in love with it. And then for Gravity, well, there was the Embrace version of it that they gave to Embrace. And I like the composition of the song. And I wish that Coldplay and Embrace would do some sort of a mix mashup of their versions. And that would be like my favorite.
Yeah.
But so whenever I play it, I try to do my own little mixture on piano of both versions.
I want to listen to that. That must be interesting.
What's your favorite song?
Ooh, nobody asked that for me. I cannot answer that. Like, Coldplay has 9 albums. It's a lot for me. Probably I ran away for lots of reasons. I have already told that story I don't remember which episode, but when I was in high school, I used to have a Coldplay B-sides playlist. And I Ran Away was the first one because back then it was like the most amazing song I've ever heard in my entire life. So I used to put it in the top of this playlist. And I remember that when I walked like to school and back home listening to that playlist. And it was like every day, like every single day for almost like 2 or 3 years of high school. So it's so simple and it's like not, I didn't even like high school. It was not I don't have great memories of high school, but at the same time, this part of my day of like clearing my head after school or going to school and listening to my favorite band and listening to my favorite songs of my favorite bands. Back then I have just discovered what is a B-side. Like, I have already fallen in love with the albums, and then all of a sudden I discovered that each single has B-sides, and all of them was like this entire awesome playlist that I used to have. Yeah, it was something for me. It's very simple. It's very, I don't know, day-to-day experiences with the band, but that they marked me somehow. But it was very nice.
I totally get that, because even the experiences I was talking about that I have with different songs, they're not always positive either. Like, it's for some reason that moment in time and that memory, it just leaves a mark. And thankfully, the music makes even a bad situation some good come out of it, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, I was talking to another guest about how every kind of music, every piece of music, every song that has ever been released in the whole world has the power of communicating something. This is obvious. We all know about that. But Coldplay seems to, every little thing and every big thing that the band does is to enhance that message. Like, recently they created alien freaking languages to enhance that message. So at the same time that it seems like every attitude, every step of the band seems calculated to enhance this message, at the same time it seems so natural that it can apply to like everyday life situations that's coming from and back to school. It's so nice.
You're so right. They don't really they think everything through and they don't miss any detail. They create these worlds that I think that's part of what keeps me going to the shows, and I just never get tired of it, because they create these entire worlds that you get to escape into for a while and just dance and sing.
Yeah.
And that part is something that I don't think I'll ever get tired of.
Yeah, and the ability of Coldplay to make like proper records that are not just a bunch of songs grouped together. No, they're actually like a parallel universe or something like that. They're very specific and self-conscious about what they need to be as an album. Like, even in the beginning with the 2 first records, that I don't think that they put the same amount of I won't say energy, but detail oriented stuff like we have on the new records, but they still have an intention of be some like an escape, someplace that you can go to run away from the world, pun not intended.
Yeah.
But this escapism that Coldplay brings, I don't know, that like Coldplay shaped my, not only my musical taste, but like world perspectives, the lots of things that I believe that they are what they are today for me, like in my truths and my character, what I actually believe has a lot, not like made by Coldplay, but with a heavy interference of their songs and their messages. So I don't know if that's just because I was like shaped by some stuff of the band, or is just because they're just very, very good in what they do.
Yeah, I can relate to that. For me, I started listening, I guess I was early teenage years, and they definitely shaped a lot of just the perspective they brought, the music. My musical taste is most likely has been shaped by them as well. Just like the outlook on the world, and, you know, listening to Chris Martin interviews since the beginning, and yeah, especially in the early days, I just watch everything I could. And I think I picked up some of that from him too. And I think he's yeah, a great role model. So it's a good thing that, yeah, you know, I took from him and not like some of the other people that have had a lot of fame and
yeah,
maybe not used it for the same positive things. I think they've put so much good positivity back into the world since the beginning.
Yeah, it's nice because like positivity is a word that is repeated a lot here in this podcast. And yeah. I must say that I'm not that optimistic type of a person. I'm very realistic, and sometimes it's difficult for me to be optimistic because, well, look at the world we live in. But
yeah,
but even on when Coldplay, I remember when I listened to to Higher Power for the first time, like we were heading out of a pandemic, like things were still not okay, and then Chris Martin was singing that he was happy to be alive at the same time as me, and I was like, is that really the moment? Like, what am I not getting? But I think that the same amount of optimism that they put in their songs, there is that same amount of honesty. Mm-hmm. So like, it's real. Like, they don't forget about the world. Look at like Everyday Life, the yeah, album, for example. Like they have the world into consideration before being optimistic and even happy. Like sometimes, I don't know, maybe sometimes we shouldn't be happy. And they talk about that as well. Yeah. And that makes the happy and joyful part of it seems more honest and yeah, real and realistic. So I think that's why they're my favorite band, because even though sometimes I listen to Chris Martin saying some stuff and I'm like, what? Like, wait a bit, come on. But when I think through, I remember when Everyday Life, the song, came out, I was reading some discussions on Reddit, people saying that, oh, but this is just a very straightforward song in terms of lyrics, because, well, everyone hurts, everyone cries, everyone whatever. Yeah. And I remember I got stuck into that, like saying, yes, it is very straightforward, but now what?
Yeah.
You know, like, and in the end, like, thanks God that this is a very straightforward song, because sometimes everything we need is like the truth right in front of us.
Yeah, we make things complicated as human beings sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. And that's something that is quite repeated here. Like Coldplay don't simplify stuff, but they make complex things simpler.
Yeah. And you know, one thing is, it seems like Chris Martin has this outlook that no matter how bad things are, there's always a solution. You can always get back on that good track. And so just never lose hope, I think, is a theme that they carry through a lot of their music's albums and creations.
Yeah.
Is that if you just keep going, you come out to the other side of, and there's a good ending to it.
Yeah. I remember an interview with something that I've read. I don't remember now. I think it was in Genius, the Genius page of mm-hmm. Adventure of a Lifetime. I don't even know if that's true, but I remember reading it somewhere. Phil Harvey, please forgive me. But I remember reading somewhere that I'm a terrible host. I don't even remember what I got the information.
Oh, no, you're doing great, man. You're doing so good. I can't do your job, so thank you for doing the interview.
Thank you. But I remember that I was reading something that Chris said about Adventure of a Lifetime, that the lyrics of the song came from a near-death experience. Like, he almost died in an accident or something like that.
I didn't even know that.
I always remember that there is a slight chance that this is not true and I'm creating this up. But I remember reading that somewhere. I need to make a post about it.
Maybe it's a good story. Either way.
Yeah. But even though it's not true, it's a good story. So he had a near-death experience, and then he realized that, like, what it is to feel alive. Not being alive, but feeling alive. Mm-hmm. And that's when the song came out. So, like, when you listen to a song like Adventure of a Lifetime, you cannot expect something like that coming out.
Yeah, no.
But at the same time, Chris Martin's head is 100% capable of doing that. And because of that, like, our heads also get, like, capable of understanding things in a different way.
Yeah, it's like a network.
Yeah, I'm very thankful for that.
Listen to this and get pulled in, yeah.
Yeah. Jimmy, I want to change topics a little bit to talk about live events, because I guess, as I told you in the beginning, I think you have a lot to tell us about those things. I didn't know that you had such an early story with the band to tell. Like, 2001 is like more than 20 years ago. Not saying that you're old or something like that, but it's a long time.
Yeah, I am.
No, I'm not saying that. You.
Although I was very young. I was probably too young at that time to be at that concert.
Wow.
But, you know, we were there.
You had, like, fake IDs and something. Like.
Not even. In LA, especially at that time, it was like, as long as you had a friend in some sort of, you know, in the business, nobody cared. I mean, I've never done anything crazy. I don't party or anything. So I'm just there for the music. And I think all the people around were like, okay, yeah, this guy is definitely just, this kid is here just for the concert.
So. Yeah, I truly relate to that, because usually I'm that guy. Like, I go to concerts with my friends. They're all, like, busted in booze and something like that. And I'm, like, truly into the concert, even though it's sometimes, like, horrible local bands and stuff. And I'm just like, wow, that's just so nice. But yeah, I assume that you have some stories to tell us. And you said, well, that you have, like, 90 concerts in your list. That's probably a lot, but I'm pretty sure that since we're talking about Coldplay, like, you may have some memories of, I won't say each of them, but lots of them. Can you get something on your mind that about one concert specifically, or a group of concerts specifically, that stands out from the others for whatever reason?
Yeah, I can. So I've got, like, my top three shows.
Ooh.
It's funny because sometimes I don't even remember completely what happened at a show, because I think I get so into it that I don't remember it. Like, I was having a conversation with one of my best friends, Oz. Me and him go to concerts together, like, everywhere. And he was telling a story in the car about a concert. And I remember telling him, like, wow, that's a great story. Like, when did this happen? And he said, you were with me. You were there. And I was like, oh, I guess I was probably dancing and just, like, so into the concert.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what usually happens. When I step into the concert, everything else, it doesn't matter. Like, my phone is off, no emails. It's just the concert.
I was going to ask you that. Like, what do you do with your phone when you're in a concert? That's a great observation.
Especially, like, more and more recently, I haven't even been taking photos or anything. Like, I'm just so into it. That is my escape. Like, that's my vacation. I work, and then, like, tomorrow, I have meetings up until the point where I get on the plane to go to LA to see the show.
Wow.
And then I'm sure after, I'm going to have to answer a bunch of emails. But up until then, like, Coldplay's a priority in my life. And everybody knows that. Anyone who's my friend knows that, okay, if the schedule comes out, he's gone on these days. but the three shows that I remember really well, in no particular order, I've got Las Vegas, New Year's Eve 2011, I believe it was.
Wow.
Just because it was such an intimate, like, it was 1,000 people in this hotel's ballroom, and everybody but I think 40 people had been invited just because they were, like, celebrities or whatever. And so these people were all in the back. They didn't care. So Jay-Z and Kanye and Beyonce were playing. And so out of the 40 people, like, it was 20 people on a plus one. It was mostly just the real fans that were singing. So we didn't even know what's going on behind us the whole night. We were just enjoying that night so much. By the end of it, it felt like a small party because even Jay-Z, like, could tell that the people in the front are the real fans. So he was, like, coming and giving champagne out. It was just, like, It was a very surreal experience.
I can't imagine.
And Chris was celebrating a little bit extra that night too. So it was really funny to see, because usually, I mean, not to say they weren't professional, they were, but you could tell that even the band were hanging out with Jay-Z and Kanye and Beyonce. They're all friends. And so you got to see a different side where there were no real cameras. I think still I may be the only one that had posted YouTube videos of it. And so that was just a unique experience, and it was a huge privilege to be able to be there. And then the second one would be during the Head Full of Dreams tour in Dallas. I got to do a song request.
Oh.
And it was just super cool because it's my home state, and I had so many friends. I had family there, and all these people that like don't always go with me to concerts got to see why I keep going back. And like, even my mom was like, is this an everyday thing, or you just show up on the screen? And I was like, no, it's definitely not. This is a unique experience right now. Because she was like, and she used to go with me a lot, like in the early days, I think probably up until like through the Viva tour. Like if she was free, I'd be like, hey mom, you want to go? And so she loves the band.
Yeah.
But her schedule doesn't permit it so much. But my 100th show is I'm hoping to have back in Dallas.
Got it.
So we're going to repeat that and have like all the friends and family come on this tour. But then the third top thing that I remember is Jordan. I'm on Jordan for Everyday Life. Yeah. That was a huge privilege to be able to be at. Like I'll just never forget the memories there. I met friends there that, you know, I talk to regularly now, and it was just the whole experience, just being there. I was with my friend Oz, and it was just unlike any other show I've ever been to. And everybody was just so happy and optimistic. And it was at the end of 2019. So no one really knew what was going to happen in the next few months. I think it was November of 2019.
It was the 23rd of November, because it was the day after they released Everyday Life.
Yeah. So I was actually there for the sunrise too, but I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about that. But
there's okay then.
There's a lot of people that, I mean, we were just there, and we got to meet a lot of other people that were just there just to hear music and stuff. And it just that, I don't know, we kind of all bonded, like people that we were just meeting for the first time in a different new country, new experience. And it was freezing cold at the Citadel. We weren't dressed appropriately either. I mean, it was way colder than we were dressed. And so everybody was just shivering and listening to the music. And then we went back to the hotel and watched, because we couldn't see the whole thing in person. So we went back and watched it in the morning. Just that whole experience, it was just really happy times. And that was a crazy year for me too. So just to be able to be there, it was a nice change that year. So that's always going to have a good lasting impression in my head. I'd say those are the top three that just immediately come to mind.
Yeah, I can imagine. Like, I remember leaving Jordan. I had a very important test in that day, and I was like freaking out. I was like, no, please, not today. Like, not on a release day. And it was just not a regular release day. But I remember like studying a lot to that test to make it like very quickly. And I did it. Like, I finished the test. And I remember I had this class with the test, and I had another one after, and I skipped this last one because I was like, no, I planned everything to be here to make this test as quick as possible, and then like just run away. And I remember I was in a corridor in somewhere in my university back then with my headphones on, and unfortunately like just a cell phone and watching everything. But that was sunrise, sunset. It was a whole new deal, but well, that I remember that experience as well, but that was not the point.
But isn't that a cool thing to think about real fast? I'm sorry to
no, come on, come
but
on.
Like that all of these fans in the community at the same time had their phones or computers up and were watching the same thing.
Yeah.
No matter where you're from, no matter what your background is, everybody was doing the same thing.
Yeah. I remember that before, I don't think we have that on YouTube anymore, but before the actual live stream, there was a countdown happening on the screen with a camera filming, like shooting the backgrounds, like the...
Oh, yeah.
Everything that was happening behind the scenes, and the whole crew, and Chris like warming up his
his voice, and Will with like drumsticks drumming something that wasn't a drum set. And I wasn't very into Twitter back then, so I didn't have that sense of community that much that we have now on Twitter, that is just like amazing and the whole reason for this podcast to exist. I didn't have that back then, but that same feeling of being a part of something that was happening worldwide was just so amazing. Like, was just exactly what you said. Like, even though we weren't presentially there, we could see that happening. And I remember, like, more recently last year on Glastonbury, that was the very same feeling. Like, it was not live. I know it was recorded, but everybody was watching that at the same time. And I won't say that this was a good thing the pandemic brought, because there's no such thing as a good thing from the pandemic.
Right.
But I mean, that sense of community that happened, like even on the Today Show, that sometimes was, I think you were there, right?
Yeah, I was there. Yeah.
You were there. Lots of friends of mine, like Haley, were there. Brooke, Seth, lots of people that I know nowadays and actually have already been here. And I know those people exactly because of the podcast. So it was so nice because it was their first concert, like after the pandemics and after lockdowns and this kind of thing. So, and we could see like friends and everyone on TV because of that. And the band was there. It was like a whole celebration of life and of the band getting back to stages, even though like for two or three songs.
Yeah, it was a lot of waiting for a few songs, but it was worth it.
It was worth it, right? It was like a restart on everything, but also the band. So
I mean, there was nothing else to do at that point.
Yeah.
I actually spent a month working on the outfit I wore there. I learned how to embroider. And yeah, I had a 1 month heads up from some friends in New York that this is going to happen. And I was determined to, I was like, okay, so I got to make this outfit and I got to try to get into this. And so it was enjoyable. Like I said, there was not a lot of other things to look forward to at the time.
Yeah.
So that was, it was a nice change to come back into live music and to see so many friends like Haley and Sappho and like Nabil was there and a bunch of my other friends that I go to shows with, and it was cool just to have a reunion because of the band. Because otherwise, I mean, I probably wouldn't have seen these people for, you know, who knows, until I was in New York next time.
And that's the point. Like, look at how many things happen in our life. Like, I'm surely can number a few things that happen in my life, and I'm pretty sure you can do as well, just because of a band. Like, in lots of quotation marks. Like, I don't think that any of us are moved because of the band. Like, and that's it. It's not just because of Chris, Guy, Johnny, and Will, but it's because of everything that they put, like the truth that they put into their songs and their concerts and this kind of thing. So it's a very interesting phenomenon to say, like, there is a bunch of guys from London that put their hearts into a piece of work, and then lots of people in the world look at that and say, I can see myself here. And I can see things I believe here. And then in the end, like, everyone is in New York, presentially or virtually, celebrating this, celebrating the same thing. So this is just, it's surreal. It's kind of surreal.
Yeah, the community is something else.
Yeah.
The New York show specifically, I remember at one point, I've mentioned my friend Oz that I travel with a lot.
Yeah.
So he's in Turkey and couldn't travel for the New York show.
Ooh.
At one point, somebody on the other end of the little gated area we were watching in the plaza we were watching Coldplay at, somebody on the other side turns and yells to me, Oz says hello.
Wow.
And I said, excuse me, what? And he's like, yeah, he says to say hello to you. And I said, how did he tell you this? And he goes, oh, I'm live streaming this show. And he commented.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. So even in this moment, like, everybody is still communicating.
Yeah.
And it's like the lines of communication are open. And it was just really cool to see that we're all still connected, even in a moment where, you know, parts of the world are facing different difficulties. We all still can, you know, reach each other and send messages. And again, Coldplay is the you know, reason for that.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not like, I'm a very big fan of Coldplay since like 10 years ago or whatever, but I mean, I have had a lot of experiences related to the band, more recently about the community itself, like knowing the people. This is very recent for me. But I am a fan of other bands as well, not as much as Coldplay, I need to say, but like, I have a goddamn podcast about the band. I'm not a fan of any other band as I am from Coldplay, but...
Do you have a Nickelback podcast?
No. Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. You're holding out on me because I'll go on that one too.
Yeah, that's your mission. That's your mission. But I don't know any other type of community like that. Like, not as strong as that. Probably there is. That would be too pretentious to say that only Coldplay is as big and as powerful as it was. We know as the Coldplay fandom, but I have never experienced something like that.
Same. And I think it's because the band, they attract people that are maybe kind of like them.
Yeah.
Like you were saying earlier, that people look at these four or five guys in London and they can kind of relate to them. And I think that's the interesting thing about the band, that they are very big and successful and talented. But even the band, they do downplay it, but they always say that, you know, we're not the most talented musicians, but we work hard and come up with good music and people like that. And I think that they're relatable in some ways.
Yeah.
Like, they never really change. They're not like crazy rock stars.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people can relate. I think people feel that they can be themselves, just like the band. The band doesn't compromise who they are in any music they release or anything they do. And I think that it attracts other people who feel the same way, that they can be themselves and express themselves however they want to, and, you know, just be a good person.
Yeah.
And good things can come to you. And I think that's why this community is this way. Like, I don't think I've ever really met too many, you know, rude or not nice Coldplay fans. And I think that has to do with the band being that way as well.
Yeah. I have already met some like Coldplay people that are not the best like people in the world. But I mean, this is a very small...
I stay off of Twitter nowadays. So.
Yeah. Like, this is,
I've missed that.
Is a very small portion of the fandom. And well, it will be too ideal if that like didn't happen. So it's totally fine for me.
Yeah.
I mean, you opened the doorway for the next topic that I have here. Something that sometimes is a bit hard for some fans that are even, especially like, as I was talking in the beginning, when I listened to Russia Blood to the Head the first time, Russia Blood to the Head was already like one of the best rock albums of, I don't know, the decade, of the century or whatever. And this reflects on them. Like, when I first heard about Coldplay, they were rock stars.
Yeah.
They had already sold out lots of concerts and those kind of things. And sometimes, especially like some people that knew the band after, I don't know, A Handful of Dreams, that was a huge success in terms of like touring and money and all those things. Like, I guess it's sometimes like some, and I'm not like attacking anyone by saying that, but sometimes it can be a bit hard for people to, even though the band humanizes themselves all the time, sometimes it's hard for some people to understand that they are humans. Like, they are just four guys.
Yeah.
They're not meant to be worshipped or something like that, you know? Like,
right.
They're not stars. Yeah. That's the point. I have already talked about that in some previous episodes. Like, I'm totally against nowadays on this idea of a person being an idol.
Yeah.
And it's basically because of Coldplay. Like, I started seeing, like, how I react and how I see Coldplay and the guys of Coldplay, like the people in Coldplay in my life, and none of them has the status of idols. I don't know if you have listened to a podcast that came out recently that's called You Made It Weird, that featured Chris Martin in an episode. Yeah. That was just so amazing. Because, I mean, have you listened to that?
Not the whole thing.
Oh, I truly recommend you.
But I've heard parts of it, yeah.
Because I think that was the first time that Chris Martin talked about the Weirdo song that they're making for like the musical. I remember that.
I did hear that, yeah.
Yeah, after that podcast, people like started talking about it. So on that episode, Chris is just being like the most relatable person ever. like giving advices for younger artists and like being like a great dad or a great uncle, not meaning to like mock him because of that. Actually, it's actually the opposite. It's very simple to look at them and say, oh, here's another human being. Like, here's just not like this is fucking Chris Martin in front of me, but no, it's, oh, hello, how are you? You know?
Yeah.
How do you see that?
Well, I think maybe I need a perspective shift because I think I also see them from, I have the same vision of them from the early days. So you're right. Maybe this is me who's like thinking about this weird because they are technically rock stars and they are selling out stadiums.
Yeah.
But I try to look at everybody the same way.
Yeah.
Like I don't think anyone's better than anyone or, you know, everybody brings something different to the table is what I've always viewed people as. So like, I've never really like freaked out over meeting anybody. And even with the band, I'm always just, you know, I treat them the same way I treat anybody and they do the same back. So I think a lot of times people get excited and it probably does stem from, you know, having an idol and then getting a little excited. But at the same time, if you just treat people same way, I feel like you can create a bigger connection with people and actually get to know them more.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've always just seen them as regular people.
Yeah, I get the excitement, right? It's 100% comprehensible. Like, you're supposed to be excited. Like, it's even though it's like in your case that you have already been with the boys in some intimate events, as you told before. Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure that you get excited as well.
Oh yeah, I mean, but see, I think what it is I see them in two sides. I see them like in their work mode and then like personal. So like,
yeah, that was the point. It was the point.
There are times where I'll be at some event in LA and oh, there's Chris Martin. But like, I just don't even bother unless he comes up to say anything. But I feel like that's the personal time. I think he's a great person, but in the same way that if I see my doctor at the supermarket, I wouldn't just go up to him and start talking about, hey, can you diagnose something?
Yeah.
So instead, you know, I'll just give him his space. But if it's on working time, then yeah, I'm excited because I'm about to see the show. He's about to do what he does. And that's what I'm there for.
It's your favorite band, right?
Yeah, exactly. But I think that at the same time, I do know he's human and there are off nights where you just don't want to do any of that.
Yeah.
And that's totally fine. I mean, you know, I put myself in other people's shoes and think about, okay, how would I want to be treated?
Exactly.
And I try to do the same thing.
Exactly. I mean, I think it's kind of, maybe I'm good to sound like a bit cringy or something, but I think it's sometimes it's a bit difficult for a younger generation, and that's the cringy part, like the old dad joke. But sometimes it's a bit difficult for younger generations and for some people to realize that this is a job, this is their work, this is how they put like food in their family's mouths. Exactly because of this idea of like a rock star. It's like a person who has the life that I wanted to have sometimes. Sometimes that's the the misinterpretation of the thing. So
I don't know how old you are, but I feel like maybe you were around in the time before social media and maybe.
I'm 23, almost 24. So I got the very last part of history without internet and those kind of things.
Yeah. So it's cool that we got to see both. Yeah. It's like I grew up with the internet, but I was probably early in it. And so I didn't have like direct access to people and the way that everybody does now. And so now I think everybody, it's easy to just open your phone and see celebrities and these people and develop these ideas about that. But at the end of the day, I think that maybe hurts because these people stop seeming like people and instead seem just like this big star in your phone.
Yeah.
But there's another aspect. I mean, we're all the same at the end of the day. And I think that if you have that kind of perspective on it, then, I mean, you'll be excited, but I feel like, yeah, you'll hopefully treat people with more respect and less cringy, maybe.
Yeah.
Not to say it's, but I mean, you know, I always say if you're not hurting anybody, then do what you want to do. But yeah, as long as everybody's happy with it. And there are times where the band is totally cool. Like when they go down to South America, like I think they love that whole experience. I mean, yeah. Like maybe if they're here and everyone's, you know, yelling their name and stuff like that, maybe it gets tiring. I don't know. But they definitely respond differently in yeah. some parts of the world where that energy is so high.
Yeah.
That you just, it's awesome.
Have you ever been to a Coldplay concert here in South America?
No, I haven't actually.
Ooh.
I will though. I will yeah, be.
You should. You should.
I'll yeah, you should. Where I'm coming.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm pretty sure you won't regret. That's all I'm yeah, no. going to say. Like, sometimes, like, I usually don't say that out loud because, I mean, I'm completely biased and I never watched a concert of anyone outside of my hemisphere, I would say. Mm-hmm. But Brazilian, more specifically, Brazilian people, but South America in general has a very specific type of energy. I have been to the Live in São Paulo concert that they recorded. I remember thinking that, like, during the concert, like, there is a very clear reason that they have picked. Not bragging or something, like, Brazil has a lot of problems, and I remember thinking, like, this is a very nice place for anyone to play a concert and record a show, because yeah. people are just hallucinating, like, crazy about, like, the
fact. Yeah, that's a totally different crowd down there. It's... Like, yeah. I haven't had the privilege of experiencing that, but from seeing everything I've seen over the years, it's just a different energy.
Yeah.
It's a different scale.
Yeah. I remember the concert, I think it was on the Apollo in New York, mm-hmm. the recent one that they did last year. Oh, yeah. There is a, I always talk about that. There is a GIF of Haley. It was a video, of course, but... There is a GIF of Haley, like, while they were playing Coloratura, so it was the very end of the concert, everybody was tired.
Oh, I know the one.
You know it, right?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Everybody's, like, just sitting down, like, contemplating the song, and Haley is just freaking out, like...
Haley has so much energy.
Yes.
That's a person that is, like, I feel like the Brazilian energy.
Yes.
It's like always at a 10.
I told that to Haley actually when they were here because...
I've never seen Haley at like a 5. It's always a 10.
Yeah.
The energy level.
Exactly. And I mean, that is... And I told Haley when Haley was here, I told that is the experience on a Coldplay concert in Brazil. And I should even say, like, when I've been to that concert, I wasn't even like... in the front row or something. I was very on the back side of the arena. So people on the front are usually like the crazier people in the concert. So, but at the same time, yeah. I could feel that same energy and everyone around me were feeling that same thing.
So cool. Like,
the only moment that I sat down, and I won't say it's because I wanted, I would say that because everyone around me sat down, and if I was standing up, people on the back couldn't see it. Wasn't the stage C moment of a Half Full Dreams tour that like things got a little like calmer and they played, I guess it was Don't Panic, and like people, I don't think many people back then knew about Don't Panic, don't ask me why, but they didn't, and everybody was like checking their phones and this kind of thing and sitting down. I was like, okay, I have no options, so I need to sit down. So you should come, definitely you should come to Brazil.
Oh yeah, I can't wait. Because what you just mentioned about even in the back having that energy, I think it's rare here in America to have that. Because there are times, especially on A Head Full of Dreams, I saw that tour everywhere, like from every spot in the stadiums and arenas. Like usually I try to get up close, but this was such a big show that I was like, you know what? I want to see it from everywhere.
Yeah.
And so there were times where I was at the back at the last row and the people around me were just... not even interested. I have some funny videos of like kids being there asleep because I could tell that the parents were probably fans and brought these like 5-year-olds who just were passed out sleeping. Yeah, so we don't have a consistent 10 energy here. I mean, there are some shows that are, but on average, I would say it doesn't get close to the Brazil.
Yeah, I remember Kyle telling here that a concert on A Half of Dreams too, that he saw people leaving and during Up and Up. Like, that's a crime. Like, you shouldn't do that. But again, like, who am I to judge? And you said something that is interesting. Like, in that concert, I had a friend who was literally in the front row of the São Paulo concert. And we later were commenting, we're like chatting about like the different experiences. For example, for him to check the xylobends properly, he had to like turn back and
look
back. I didn't. So like that was something. And but at the same time, he was closer to the band. He got to check the details. Even that, I mean, it's so detail oriented about Coldplay. Like they think about the person who is there, like on the command part of the crowd, like in the very first line of the show. And even I, that was like the backside of the arena, I could have another experience that was not better or worse. It was just something different.
Yeah.
Like the fireworks, this friend said that he couldn't see the fireworks properly because of that metal structure in the top of the of the stage, so he couldn't see it properly. Nothing is better or worse, and I think that this is since like X and Y. That's something that the band does like since forever.
Like I think on A Head Full of Dreams, there were probably at least 3 to 4 different experiences you could have had depending on where you were sitting, and that was one thing I thought was cool. And I'm pretty sure when they originally started using the xylobands, they were trying to find ways to connect people in the furthest area with the front. And I think they've really done that because everybody does feel connected with them. And, you know, there are these new LED wristbands, and I have my own opinions on them, but I would hope that we would... I understand the direction they're trying to go, but there's something about the xylobands that I would hope one day would come back.
I think that is very admirable what they're doing now in terms of being eco-friendly and those kind of things. Mm-hmm. But we cannot say like, I have my xylobend there. It's a part of the decoration in my room. I know that it's never going to light on again, but but at the same time, like I feel it's like a souvenir of the concert.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that you have. And I know that like they have merchandising and those kind of things that also like serves this spot of merchandising or I don't know, being something that you look at and then you remember the concert. But
good memories.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, they have been doing this xylobends things for 10 years now, basically. It's for a good reason. So
I mean, they have the new ones, but so they are still there, but it's, I mean, they're not xylobends. They're they're just different.
Yeah, they're not xylobends. They're not from Jason Ragler and that whole crew of creators.
Yeah, but Jason's a genius.
Yeah, right. I was talking about that with other guests as well. Like, I can imagine the day that they came out. I don't know if that idea was from Coldplay, probably Chris, but or Jason. From Jason. It was 100% Jason, right?
Yeah. He's a friend, so I know the story.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they had him and his son Lewis had they were going to. I think it was 2010 when Coldplay had this, it was like a charity thing I remember there was like a blizzard in England. And so a lot of people couldn't go to these charity shows that they had paid a lot to go meet the band.
Gotcha.
And Jason was one of them. And so they got rescheduled, I believe. This, my memory right now is a little hazy, but so I hope I'm saying this right. But then Jason, he's an inventor and he had this idea and pitched it to them while they were meeting. And they loved the idea, and it turned into the xylobands.
Wow.
And, I mean, maybe one day you should have him on to tell his story, but the whole, like, ups and downs of creating that business, I think it's a good story.
Yeah, I remember, like, when it first got released, and I remember that nobody quite get it, like, how it was going to work, because...
Yeah, it was Spain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They first announced it as an idea. On MX era, and everybody was like, okay, but how is it going to work? Until like the first day where we saw the pictures and everybody was just like shocked on how beautiful that was. And they got even better in A Head Full of Dreams era because like they were white and could change colors. So I remember like the first memory I had of A Head Full of Dreams. When I think about A Head Full of Dreams, the image that comes to my mind is literally the first second of the concert where everything turned red and we got like that speech from Chaplin, the great dictator. So it's a trademark nowadays. You know, I cannot think about Coldplay concerts without light, without me being the part of
Same.
The light. So.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
for us to finish, I want to bring a topic that is kind of sensitive for the fans. But I mean, I think we need to talk about that because if we don't, we won't get ready for it quite enough. Yeah, we learned some weeks ago at Coldplay will stop making music on 2025. Yeah. Now what? How do you feel about that? What is your what are your theories if you have one? How do you feel about that?
I don't know if I believe it, to be honest. Like, I just feel like a personality like Chris's, it would be very difficult if he still has the ability to create music to just have all these ideas come and just not actually work on it. I feel like they're workaholics, and I don't know if they'll be able to stop. Like, I don't know if the album, I'm sure that, you know, we may not see an album, but I think we'll probably see singles here and there, and definitely touring.
Yeah, they told that they're going to tour, right?
And they've told me that, well, I don't know if they were kidding or not, but they said that they'll be touring in their 70s. So I don't know if that was just a Chris and Phil joke or... they're going to actually do that, but
yeah,
I just can't see. Like, I think about Chris Martin. I know how much doing live shows and creating music means to him. So I don't know what he would replace that with.
Got it.
Because I have that same struggle that if I'm doing what I love, but if I stop doing, I don't think I could ever stop doing anything. I'd get bored. There's only so much surfing you can do, you know? Yeah. So I really hope that they still release things here and there and just surprise the world. But if that's what they want to do and stop, that's fine with me too. Because, you know, at the end of the day, it's their life and whatever makes them happy and what they want to do. We still have the catalog of music. I still listen to all the old stuff and the new stuff. Those aren't going anywhere. So I'll respect their wishes.
And again, it's a job, right? They should retire somewhere in the point of their lives.
Yeah, they got to enjoy them. I mean, they've been on the road for so many years.
And we can see, like, Guy Berryman has, like, his fashion design thing, and he loves cars and this kind of things. And I'm pretty sure, like, the other Will likes to play soccer and this kind of thing. So they have other things to do as well. But at the same time, I totally agree with you. Like, I cannot see any of them going solo or something. They have already mentioned some things like that. Like, if they stop making music, they will stop making music. Like,
I think so too.
They would not switch careers or something like that inside of music. Like, if they make new music, it will be as Coldplay. Even Las Unidades was Coldplay at the end of the day. So, I think that they would not. Maybe like they will feature. They will work as featured artists or producers or whatever into like as Chris did on Dua Lipa's record, for example. I think that may happen every now and then. At the end of it, but you know something that I usually tell people when this is the topic, like people used to get real sad because of that, and I truly get it. It's not meant to be a happy thing. Like, we're not created as a society to handle endings. We don't like endings of anything.
Yeah,
but only the pandemics. I would love the pandemics.
For real.
But, but at the same time, I mean, I love the fact that they're not just ending out of the blue, you know, that they are preparing the territory, that they are, that they know what they have to do or they, what they want to do until the very end.
Yeah, they have a roadmap.
Yeah. Maybe they don't follow it as like mathematically precisely as they seem to want. We were interrupted by a pandemic. God knows what can happen in the future. So making plans is something difficult. But at the same time, I mean, I feel like they care so much about the fans and everything that they built in those like 20, 25 years. They are not like looking at everything and say, oh, we're just stopping. Like, we're not going to see a Coldplay record that out of the blue, they're going to say, oh, this is the last album. Like for real. Because they have already told that like a zillion times. But, you know, like I cannot see they announcing a record as the last one and that's it.
Yeah, they're super passionate and love what they do. So to me, just from my life experience, I feel like I have not seen that many people that really love what they're doing that ever can stop. And they're talented. So they have a skill.
Yeah.
I'd like to see, you know, whatever they do is cool. But I just feel like... It's hard to imagine right now.
It truly is. They have been out there. I mean, again, they have the right to retire and those kind of things. But at the same time, when we look at them as individuals, as we were talking, mm-hmm. I cannot see that happening. Yeah. Not in that traditional way, actually.
Right,
not in the way that they're going to vanish from Earth and nobody knows what's happening with Chris Guy, Johnny, and Will. Like, I can see that happening. So, yeah, that's a nice perspective. That's a great way of putting it. And the last thing that it's just something that I totally forgot, I mean, that I just want to ask you very quick, Will, is that you appear to have a certain kind of personal relationship with the band, with the guys from the band, something that it's more, even though I don't know if you call them friends or something, that's something that I want to know from you, but you seem to have already had lots of moments of individual and personal moments with them, like personal conversations, and as you did on the concerts, like, do you have a memory, do you have something that stands out when you think about Chris, Guy, Johnny, Will, or Phil? Like,
you know, I'm just a fan, and I've been lucky to just see them a lot. And then sometimes you do run into them. And I do have, I've got a few. I have one it's really personal, I think, to me. So that one I probably
don't worry.
Can't share. But
keep it personal.
but you know, I think the fact that they remember fans, and I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
I've been in places where, like, Chris will stop and talk to somebody, and I'll just, like, see them talking in front of me. And clearly Chris knows about this person's life. And to me, like, I remember the first time I saw that, I was thinking, he meets so many people that's really cool that he can stop. And I mean, the only other person I've ever seen do that is like Tom Cruise, who apparently never forgets a face and remembers everything about somebody. So I think there's very few people who meet, you know, millions of people that have that ability to just stop and pick up a conversation with people. But I mean, I've had a few funny interactions, I guess. One time before a concert, Chris was driving by and I was walking with a few friends to a stadium, and Chris is driving by, stops the car, gets out, and he was just like, hey, if we keep it, like, quiet for the next few minutes, I can hang out. And so we were all just talking on the street. And as we're talking, there are people walking by with Coldplay shirts on to go to the concert. But they have no idea. They don't even stop to look that Chris Martin is standing on the side of a street.
Just, wow.
You know, talking. But he was telling me that he felt bad that I keep going to the shows and see the same thing. And I thought that was pretty funny that he's actually, like, cares about, like, what the experience is for the fans, that he was like, you know, I feel bad. Do you want to hear something different tonight? And I asked for something, but he was like, well, I have to practice that. I don't know that right now. But it was just cool that, you know, they do always think about every fan's experience. And, like, you were talking about how they craft that experience to be able to, so that everybody has some experience there, even if you're in the back or the front. I think that's really just the way they are and the way they think, because they value the fans so much that they always try to make sure that everybody has the best experience.
Yeah, well, did you remember, when was that? What era was that?
Oh, that was A Head Full of Dreams.
Oh, so yeah, it was.
Yeah, that was there's a photo of me and dressed up in the outfit,
yeah,
and he's next to me.
Yeah, I think I know that photo.
Yeah.
I think I know it.
And it was funny, it was in Chicago, and they were streaming that concert in VR. I think they
VR. Yes, I remember that.
And so, as a joke, I had went and bought one of those cardboard VR headsets.
Yeah.
And I had it in my hand, and Chris was like, oh, is that how you're going to watch the show tonight? And he was asking about VR, and at the time I wasn't doing it for real, it was just a joke. And I was like, man, I don't know, I'm just trying to take a funny photo inside. But I do remember that too, because he was very interested in if I was going to watch the show through VR or actually watch it in real life.
There.
I'm like, well, I'm already here, I'm going to watch it for real.
I cannot imagine, like, you alone, like, in the middle of the crowd looking at a VR, like glasses.
I don't know if I ever posted it, but there is a photo of me next to, like, the stage is behind me, and I'm just standing there with the VR. I'm like, wow, this is really realistic.
Yeah, I mean, probably there was some kind of delay or something, but it should be, like, very nice as well. But thank God you did appreciate the concert, like, presentially, not via, like, the VR glasses the whole time.
Yeah.
But it was a great joke. I think it was a very great joke for you to do.
Yeah, Chicago is always a good show.
Yeah. Jimmy, thank you so very much for being here. Do you have anything else that you want to say that you didn't have the opportunity, or do you want to say something?
No, I just want to thank you for putting in the time and, you know, bringing the fans together by doing this, because it's definitely a skill and I can't do your job. So I'm going to keep listening, and it's cool to just see friends pop up on here. And
yeah,
keep doing what you're doing, because you're doing a really good job.
The starting point of the podcast was a kind of angsty feeling. I don't know, that there were so many great people that I only know, like, the Twitter handle. I don't even know their names. Mm-hmm. Like, why is that happening? These people are so nice. I talk to them on Twitter, and they're so grateful for me for no reason, apparently. So I wanted to, like, humanize those people and have them here. And I think that you are one more victim of cold talks.
well, thank you for that.
Well, thank you very, very much. I hope that you have a nice day and a nice week. Feel invited to be here whatever you want. And if you come to South America, please let me know.
Oh, I appreciate that. I will definitely let you know.
Oh, great.
And if you come up here, we'll go to a show together.
Oh, for sure. That will happen someday. I really want to make that real someday. So, Jamie, thank you very much for coming. Thank you very much for your time. I hope to see you later. And that's it. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye, Rodrigo. Thank you for having me.
And that was my conversation with Jimmy. He's a very nice guy. I hope that you liked it. And here I am to repeat, actually, the question that we're going to have for Inner Talks, the new special episode that comes out every month here on Cold Talks. And the question is, Coldplay is finishing their album career on 2025. What now? What do you have to say about that? How does that hit you? What are the feelings that you have when you see that information? All that, everything is valid when answering this question. Now, what? I hope to see you next week. We have a very nice guest as well. And that's it. Cold Talks. Let's go. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to Cold Talks. This podcast is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Rodrigo Saminis. I also made the soundtrack of the show, which is original since season 2. Graphic design is made by Luiz Eduardo Pinheiro. I ask you please to rate the podcast and follow us in the platform that you're listening to. It helps us a lot. Also, if you like Cold Talks and want to support the show, please consider buying us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/coldtalkspod to donate whatever you want. Also, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at coldtalkspod, P-O-D. Thank you very much, and see you next week.